Thank you. You would have to pay more. Again, the halacha the halacha that we're discussing is a sift kuf samach siftes, that it says that a person is not allowed to work for somebody else, do something, do him a favor, do a job for him, while stipulating that the payment will be that at some future point, the one who he's working for will work for him. Malacha sheyosek aveda. So we're saying that many times, usually it'll be more valuable. I mean, it would be something that you'd have to pay more for. But even if not, the fact that it's Yosef Kaveh, that he's working harder. And the idea being that I'm working, he's working for me today, and really I should pay him. It's something that I should pay for. He's not doing it for free. So I really should pay him, and I should pay him now. I mean, there's a din that a person does work for you. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, b'yomo tidein scharo. Person works for you, you're supposed to pay him that day or that night, whenever he works, before the end of the own up. But here you're making up that you don't have to pay me today, or I don't have to be, you're working for me, I don't have to pay you today. But instead of paying you today, I'll work for you tomorrow or next week or whenever it is. You'll wait for your payment. And in turn, in exchange, I'll work harder for you than you worked for me. So that's a form of rivis, because I owe you the wages, and I'm not paying you right away. And when I am paying you, I'm paying you more than you really deserve for the job, more than you would normally get. If I would just pay you on the spot, I would pay you X. Instead, I'm paying you with work that's worth more than X, or that's inherently more, more difficult work than the X that you did for me. Or it says, "Vafilu lasosim osam malacha." Even if it's the same malacha, same type of work, osam malacha asma aser imu bezman sheyosek kaveda. If he's going to work for him, or the second one, today's recipient is going to work for the other person at a time when it's more difficult. Kagon shezem menachesh imo begrid. That this one is menachesh, as it says in the parentheses, means tolis hasavim. He's weeding his field, his karka. Begrid means when the ground is dry and hard, and it's not as difficult to pull out the weeds. Vezem menachesh imo berviya, and it's, in turn he'll do it for him later when it's reviya, when there's a rain, and the ground is, the soil is very muddy and more difficult to work with. So it's the same idea, whether it's two different malachas or the same malacha, but at two different times when the work is harder. Now, the Torah actually, when the Torah says out this halacha, says out this din, says a little bit different. Let's see if I can locate it here. I have it written down. We just go to. Sorry, I'm gonna see where I wrote it down. Okay. Lashon haTorah, shepa'amim, pa'amim. There are times shacheres osel lo chaveru kveid yoser me osel shosel lo. Now, the Lashon haTorah is mashma that even if they didn't stipulate that you work for me today, and I will do for you work that's more difficult, or a different job that's harder, or the same job at a harder time. Even if it wasn't stipulated that way, just to be masna two different jobs. You work for me today, and you do this for me, I'll do that for you. Or you work for me today under these weather conditions, and I'll work for you later in the winter when it's more difficult. even if we don't stipulate it that way, that but just that's the way we make up. You help me out now in my field in June, and I'll help you out in your field in the middle of December. And where here it might not be the biggest difference, but in some climates that's going to make a huge difference. In places where it gets colder in the winter, working out in outdoors in December is a lot more challenging and a lot more difficult, and would take typically a higher price than working in June or in May when it's comfortable, you know, outside. So even if we don't stipulate that it's going to be malacha kaveh de yoser or de malacha, it's still usher. So Poskim understand that to mean that the Chazal usher, at any time it's two different malachas or malachas at two different times, there's always that concern. There's always an automatic chash that the second malacha might be more, might be kaveh, that might be more expensive, and for that reason should be us. Now the Mechaber doesn't spell it out that way. The Mechaber makes it sound like the Tznai was that that it'll be Malachiyos HaKveda. But a number of the Svarim say that they take this the Chumer of the Torah, that even if he doesn't say it that way. So we mentioned the concept is because he really owes him the money, he owes it to him now, and he's not paying him now, he's paying him later, so he's paying him with something more valuable. Now, so first of all, it's only usser, though, when it was stipulated, meaning there was some stipulation that we just said now from the Torah, it doesn't necessarily have to be that the stipulation was that the second type of work will be more difficult or more valuable, but it has to be, it was stipulated that you work for me now and I'll work for you tomorrow. If a person just does that, he does work for me now and I don't pay him, and then later I volunteer to do something for him, even if what I volunteer to do is more valuable, is more difficult, so that would be mutter, that the Sefer Divrei Sofrim points this out. That would be similar, or that would be an example of the halacha that we had in Sif Dalet, because we learned earlier in Sif Dalet in the Ramah that if a loan which is a debt which is not a result of a direct loan, it wasn't that Reuven lent Shimon money, but rather Reuven sold something to Shimon and Shimon owes him the money for that and he doesn't pay him right away, or Reuven did a service for Shimon and Shimon owes him wages. Cases like that where it's not a loan per se, it's derech mekuch u'memkar. So there you are allowed, without stipulating, you are allowed to give back a greater amount. That was the Rama said, because the Mechaber said over there that even if there was no stipulation, he just gives it to him, extra b'shas, the payment, it's usher. But said the Rama, that's only by a regular loan. Me, the Rama said in Sif Dal, im lo hayu amos b'yadu derech halva, rak derech mecher, mutter b'kai gavne. And we saw a machlokas over there between Rabbi Kiveger and seemingly the Shach, whether that the Shach seemed to apply that even in a case where it's the money that's owed, meaning to say, Plony worked for me, and I owe him wages, and I don't pay him right away. So when I do pay him, I throw in some extra money as a hakar satov for waiting. So the Shach's mashma that even that's mutter. But even Rabbi Kiveg, who disagreed, said that's not mutter. But the other way around would be, let's say I pay for merchandise, or I pay a person to work for me. I give him money up front. I make up with him that he's going to do a job for me, and he says, you know, I could really use an advance on the money. So I say, fine, I'll give you the wages today, just make sure you get the job done. And I give him the wages today, and it takes him a little longer than it should have to do the job. So when he does the job, he does a better job, or he does extra. He only promised, I only paid him to do whatever, to paint two rooms, and he says, you know what, you waited so long for this, you paid me, you were so nice to pay me. So he, without stipulating, he just goes ahead and paints an extra room. So everyone agrees that that's mutter, even though he gave me back more value than I gave him. But it wasn't derech, it was derech mekach memkar. I didn't lend him the money per se. I paid him for the job. I just paid him in advance. So that he's allowed to do. So that would be an example here too. If Plony works for me, and now I'm going to pay him back. I didn't stipulate why I'm going to pay him back, or that I'm going to do a malachik v'diyoser. So the way I come to pay him back is by, you know, form of barter. He does a job for me, and I do a job for him, but without stipulating, so I'm allowed to. Then I am allowed to do more. As long as we didn't stipulate, it wasn't ktsutza, so I could, that would be an example of the Ramah. It's derech mekuch u'memkar. This is what the Divrei Sofrim says, and I could do a harder job or a better job for him.
I'm sorry? The way the Torah says it also, you can say that?
Yeah, because the Torah, they're stipulating that he'll pay him back with malacha. So, or with you know, with a malacha, which could be the lashon again. The lashon of the Torah just was. It means a different malacha. No, pamim, it's kevei de yosef, but I mean, with
it,
but this. No, I don't have the whole. Pamim shacheres shaos lo chaver kevei de yosef. I mean, it'll be more. It might be more difficult, but it's two. But I'm saying it's two different malachas that we made up, right? We had to. I'm talking about a case where we didn't necessarily make up that what I'm going to do for you, and I do, and I you know, I owe you for this job, and I often say, you know what? I know you could use this. How about if I do this for you? And I do it, and I do more than it was asked for, but it wasn't what it wasn't katzitz at all. That's right. So
still the case, even though it's more difficult, the recipients are still receiving the exact same product.
What do you mean?
You have to put in more effort.
Right.
To do it, but I'm still getting the same. Whether
right, but it's a, but it's a higher, but it's probably. I mean, typically, it's going to be a greater value. So even though it's
even
the same.
Last week I cut your lawn. This week you cut my lawn. It's harder to do it because of the weather.
Right. So then mail is more valuable. So I'm giving you more than you gave me. Even though you're right, the end product is the same. But to get a person to do it now, it would cost you more. It's more of a value. So there's a big discussion in Poskim about applying this to different situations. One of the cases that they talk about a lot is a situation of carpool. Let's say you have a carpool with a few different families that they switch off the different days of the week or different times of the day, taking the children to school and picking them up. So one time this family takes his kids and the other family's kids, and then they do it the other way. And so the question, so the way the shaila starts is, could you, let's say the person has to switch. At some point, he says, you know, I usually do Monday morning, and I can't do Monday morning this week. If you cover for me, and I'll cover for you whenever it may be. And I make up a time for you, which could theoretically be, or maybe is known to be, more difficult. Like the Monday morning carpool, it's early. They go for davening. It's early, so it's before the traffic, and it's not a big deal to do it. And maybe there are even fewer kids in the car, that fewer stops, because there's only the boys going to Minyan. But the carpool, the Monday afternoon carpool, it's already during rush hour, and you have to you have to wait for more kids or pick up more kids or whatever it is, because so it's a more difficult job. So some say that that's a mamash classical example of this halacha, that I'm asking you to do a job for me, and I'm offering to do a job for you which is more difficult. That's what some say, and or any similar situations that I heard, and I don't want to really quote any names here because I don't want to run a risk of misquoting, whether in the Hezbollah or in the Halacha, but I definitely heard from a prominent Dayan who disagreed with this and said that that he didn't see any problem with the case of carpool would not be a problem, or even similar cases. And it's Masrit two ways. I mean, first thing is Masrit Pasha, that he said carpool is more a shutfus. We get together at the beginning of the year. We said, look, I have to get my children to school every day and pick them up for school every day. You have to do it with your children. So why don't we go into a shutfus and we'll divide up the responsibilities. And together we'll get the job done. So we're shutfim in this project of getting our children to school and getting them back home from school. So the way we divide it up is just everybody. So basically, it comes out everybody really has achrayas to work at any time, just like any shutfus. It's just that they divide up the responsibilities just to make it work, and to be fair, to be equitable, to make it worth it. I'm only going to go into shutfus. Part of the reason to go to shutfus is either if it's a monetary shutfus, I need his assets, I need his money, or if it's a shutfus like this, I need his I need his labor. So I don't want to have to do it all by myself. So I'm mishnati with somebody else. But ultimately, we all have the same achrayus and responsibility of getting the job done. We just divide it up in a way that seems to be fair and equitable. But if one time I can't do it and I ask you to cover and say I'll just to be fair, I'll cover for you at a time. It's not like this is my job that I must take carpool Monday morning, or you must take it Tuesday, Monday afternoon, and I'm offering to do that for you. I'm giving you back something more. It's just that the way it got divided up is that you're typically more available in the afternoon than the morning. So you took the morning, you know, you took the afternoon, I took the morning, or however we divided to make it, you know, to make it work for all of us and to make it as fair as possible and practical. But that's just a division of responsibilities. It's not a question of I'm sorry?
It's not a real malacha ketzuzah.
Right, it's not like something, right? So
if you both are responsible 100%, you're finding inside to get the kids to school.
Right. Now, so according to this Hezba, though, so if it would be, let's say you take somebody else who's not part of this carpool, and he say, "Do me a favor. I can't do a carpool this morning. Are you available this morning? Can you do me a favor?" He say, "Yeah, I have nothing. Yeah, I could do it this morning, but instead, will you? You know, I'm talking going out of town next week, and I won't be able to do my carpool." And so Lachar Kohen today says, "But that would be usher because I have no shaychus to your. I'm not part of your shutfus. I have no obligation whatsoever to get your kids to school. I'm obligating myself to do it on this particular time because you're going to do something for me which you have no shaykhs, you have no responsibility, you don't have to get my kids, you're not part of our carpool, you're offering to drive carpool for me, and I'm offering to drive for you." So that, according to this Hezber, that would be problematic. But at a different point, he really explained it differently, and he pointed to the Rashi in the Mishnah Daf Ayin Hay in Bava Metzia, where it says this, where this din comes from. Rashi says there that the Nakuda is, like I explained it at the beginning, that really the wages should be paid right away for whatever job. A person does a job for me, I should pay him. I should pay him right away. It's something he's not doing me a favor. He's working for me, and he should be receiving compensation immediately. He's agreeing. We make up. You know what? If you'll sort of, you know, even if you don't say these words, that was saying, if you'll agree to wait on being compensated and being paid, I'll do it in a manner I'll give you something more. It's, you know, when you need help with the same thing, you need help weeding your field, and which is going to be, and your field is twice the size of mine. No problem. I'll do your field. I'll work with you hand in hand in your field, just like you worked hand in hand in my field. So I'm doing that in place of paying him now, in order that he's willing to wait for payment, I offer him an incentive that I'll do something which is more valuable. So he said it has to be that nekuda, that it's, well, that's the whole yisod of ribis, agar natar, that you're paying for the hamtanas zman, for you're paying for the delay, you're repaying with the person for delaying the payment, or if it's not paying by a loan, a regular loan is you loan me your money. Now your money is, you know, your most of the lashon gemara is betalos etzli. Your money is out of service for you. You can't use your money now because you lent it to me. For the next month, your money is committed to me, so you don't have the benefit of your money. So as a reward for that, as compensation for that, I will give you back. I won't just return your money, because that's not compensation. That's just giving back what's yours. I will compensate you by giving you extra. That's ribbis. That's exactly what the Torah said you can't do. That's called paying interest. But when it has nothing to do, when I'm giving him the extra, has nothing to do with the fact that there was a time factor, then it's missing the whole yisod of ribbis. So he wanted to say that most of these arrangements, carpool and even other arrangements, he gave another example of a person has, let's say one person has a landscaping business and he, you know, works during the spring and summer months, and the other person has a snow removal business in cities where there is such a thing. And they make up with each other that, you know, so you'll do all my landscaping, my gardening work during the summer, and I'll when it snows, I'll do the snow removal for you on your property. So I want to say things like that, where it's nothing to do with because you're waiting to be compensated. You're bartering. That's a convenient way of each one paying the other. Maybe you get a better deal with barter, right? Than if you, because the you don't charge the profit. You know, the profit margin is not there. We're just swapping. In fact, I think we had a dinner about this once years ago, and the official rate of barter is 50%, meaning to say, if you make a barter arrangement with, at least in Illinois, I don't know if it's that way everywhere, when you make a barter arrangement with somebody else, and at the end of the day, it falls through, and so he owes you 50%, the dollar value is 50%, not the full value of what it was, but only 50% of the cost that it would have cost somebody else. So that's the idea. I'm looking for a guy who does snow removal to, and I'm offering, I have a landscaping company, so I look for the, I go up to the guy with snow removal and say, hey, I'll save money on the snow removal by offering you my services. Rather than like this, you might not have hired me to do your landscaping, maybe somebody else, you would have hired somebody else. I'll do your landscaping, it costs me nothing, I just, you know, I put in the malacha, and you'll do my snow removal, it costs you nothing. So it's not, and even, so let's assume the snow removal is, you know, is malacham kveda or kventator. It might be kveda. Or perhaps I have a lot more property to remove snow from than he has, because all the cement area too, than he has grass to, so he's going to do more work for me than I did for him. But it's not because I'm waiting on getting paid. But this is the arrangement. This is what's convenient for me. I'd rather do it this way. So it could be that come out with the carpool case, even if it's a stranger who's not part of this carpool, he's not part of this shutfa. It's not a vertin. That's the way he ultimately explained why he held that these things should be mutter. It's not part of, it's not the vert that has to be a shutfa. The point is that I'm paying him back that way, not because he's kind enough to wait for payment, but because we dafko, that's what he wants to be paid. He doesn't want money. He doesn't want to, you know, pay me $20-$25 to do your carpool for you. I'm not interested. I'm happy that you should take the burden off of my shoulders. So the next time I have to do a carpool, you'll do it for me. So maybe he thought that these things should be mutter. So a lot of the sfarim say otherwise, say that this is mamish an example of the isser, but
what about doing favors for friends and, you know, that you don't spell everything out. I mean, you're friends, you know, that is sometimes I need something from you and sometimes need something, but we're friends because we're happy to do.
Then that's fine. If you don't, you hit the nail on the nose. If you don't spell it out, you don't say, okay, you're just doing it. He asks your friend a favor, and he does it for you, and then you feel next time you know that he needs something. You say, yeah, if you ever need anything, let me know. You know, I'll be happy to help you if I can. Well, not committing myself to anything or stipulating anything, and then you're allowed to. And in fact, we mentioned before, I think from the different sofrim, even if I know that and I intentionally do a little bit more later, at that point it would be permissible. But there was no stipulation, no discussion of any tit for tat type of thing. Then that's okay. But this Lacha is talking about specifically here, where it's not a friendly thing. It's a business arrangement where you're working for me and I'm working for you. Okay, so that's the mechaber of this halacha. Now, the Ramah goes on and talks about the following case. Let's say, let's look at the Ramah. V'mechad hil v'mos l'chaveiro al zman ma k'dei shi'achsu v'yalveyu pam acheres k'zman arishon. What happens if I loan you money? I loan you $1,000, and we stipulate that, of course, you have to pay me back $1,000, but you agree to lend me money when I need $1,000. Right, you need, now let's say we it can be a million cases, you could make it whatever the case, the same amount of money, that the amount of money you're asking me to lend you right now, I say, fine, I'll be happy to lend you, I have the money now, Baruch Hashem, now I have the cash, I'll be happy to lend you, I don't need it for the next 6 months when you need it, but stipulating that when I need, I suspect that down the road I might need some extra cash, so besides paying me back the $1,000, I'm stipulating that you'll loan me instead, you'll owe me $1,000. So the Ramah says, brings a machlokas. First, the Ramah says, Yeshua Mimsha Asur. Some say that you can't do that. You can't stipulate that the person lend you money. Why? It's not like a case of malacha. Even if we stipulate the exact same malacha, the exact same time of the year, everything exactly the same, which would be mutter, right? According to the Bechaber, even according to the Tor. If it's the exact same malacha, the exact same work conditions, the Tor agrees it's mutter, only if it's different malacha. So it's the same malachas, that's mutter. So here it's the same thing. I'm lending you money, so I'm just stipulating you should lend me money. It's the same thing. He says, yeah, but it's not the same thing. Because when I'm lending you money, you're paying me back the money. I'm not giving you money and stipulating that you give me back money. I'm lending you money, which you're going to return to me. So now we're even. So on top of that, and then on top of that, I'm saying you have to make me a loan. So that's not okay. I'm getting paid back for lending you money. But I'm besides you returning the money, you're paying me in addition. So some say that's us, sir. Some say it's mutter. Zakta Rama. Some say no, that that's mutter as long as the loan is the same amount, the same $1,000. I could actually stipulate that. I could spell it out that I'll lend you $1,000 if you'll lend me $1,000 when I need the money. So what is the question exactly? What is the hesber? I think we can understand the osrim. Right, those who say it's not mutter, I think you can understand because that the loan you're doing to me is an additional thing. So the Chalkis Biyamin wants to explain the matirim that a loan there's no neshech and tarbis. The yisod of ribis, the Torah calls it. Excuse me, neshech. Neshech means that the literally like biting that the Malva is being no sheikh. He's like biting the lover, taking something away from the lover. Besides getting back his money, he's taking a bite out of him, meaning he's making giving something extra. And so that's one aspect of ribis. And the other is tarbis, that his assets are increasing because of the lover. And there are times, especially in the Gemara, when you could have cases where there's one without the other. But the Chalkas Binyam tries to explain that the matirim here hold that here you have neither. It's not a loan. If I'm asking you for a loan, that means you're not giving me money. You're not giving me extra money. You're lending me extra money. That means I have to give it back to you eventually, right? When you pay me back the $1,000 I lent you, and then in a week from now when I need cash, you loan me $1,000, but I have to give it back to you. So I'm not. There's no real neshech. I'm not biting anything away from you because the extra $1,000 taken from you, you're getting it back. And I'm not getting anything extra. Now, you say, well, okay, there's some time value to it. But this is ultimately, there's the thing that we're stipulating about is not anything that of any permanent gain for me or permanent loss for you. So that's why the Yesh Omer holds, in that the Yesh Omer holds that it's mutter. So, Now, this is two opinions here, and with the opinion that holds it's usser, some posts can hold it's mamish ribis katsutza, so it's mamish usser, and there's Rabbi Akiva Eiger here on the page that discusses how you would pay it back, how you'd be mechuyev to pay the guy back if you did that, implying that it's mamish, or he's saying that it's mamish ribis katsutza, ribis deraisa, that you'd actually have to pay back. So how do you pay back? I mean, of course, in other words, let's say we did that. We stipulated, I lent you the money, and I stipulate you have that in place of this loan, you have to loan me money when I ask you. So you paid me back my loan. Then a month later, I came to you and say, okay, now please lend me the $1,000 like we stipulated. And you do. And now I have to pay you back the $1,000 regardless. But on top of that, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, according to the opinion that it was usser midaraisa, I'd have to pay you back now the value of a loan. There is some value that can be attributed. You know, how much is it worth for me to get a loan from somebody? How much if I'd be allowed, for example, for a Gentile that I'm allowed to pay?
Like,
what is that?
Paying back Rivas in order to get away from him?
Well, not
whatever addition you're going to pay in the Rivas.
No, because I'm not paying for the loan. I'm replacing the value of the loan, right? He gave me a loan which he wasn't allowed to give me, right? So that I'm allowed to pay him back. I'm allowed to. I have to compensate him for that loan because it was something that I took for Isser. I'm not allowed to have that loan.
Even though he's having a rabbi now because he lent you the money.
So you're asking that I'm giving him ribbis now. I'm giving him ribbis. What's that?
Catch 22.
Right. But it definitely is mutter because I'm not giving him again. I'm not giving him the money because of. That's not why I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you because I stole, you know, I took something you had not right to take, and I have to return it. So the only way to return it is I can't return the thing, it's not tangible. I have to return the value of that loan. So it's not because your money's betelus hits me, it's because I like stole something from you. So I have to, in a sense, I have to return that gezel. That's what. So everyone agrees, though. Let's say somebody owes me money for something, and whatever it may be, and I'm having a hard time, you know, getting it back from him, or I'm afraid it's not so secure, or whatever it may be. So he approaches me for a loan. So I say, fine, I'll lend you the money, but bitznai that you give me back this other money that's coming to me. So that's for sure mutter, right? Even though without the loan, if I don't lend you this money, you know, you've got you got some money of mine, some money which I have a claim to, which you, let's say you agree, you're not disputing the claim, you agree that you owe me the money, but, you know, okay, I'm working on it, you know, I'll have it one of these days. So now you come to me for a loan. So you come to me with a loan, so I say, okay, look, I'll lend you this money, but tonight that you give me back, and this money I'll lend you maybe in a more secure way, or I'll get an arev, I'll get whatever it is, but tonight, stipulating that you pay me back the other, or let's say a person owes me money, and he's just... dragging his feet, and they want to say, okay, we have to make. I'll lend you this money only if the repayment rate will be at a much higher repayment rate than it should have been for this money alone, because that way I'll get back my original money. So that you're allowed to do, because that's, I'm just stipulating that he's giving something that's coming to me. I'm not asking him to do anything which he's not chayev to do, and not chayev to do. He is chayev. He owes that other money. He owes me. He's not disputing it. He owes me that money. It's just whatever. It's just not getting around to it. So I'm sort of just. Taking advantage of this opportunity, he needs me for something. So I say, okay, if you give me back that, I'll. So that's for sure allowed to do. That's not considered a loan. That I'm lending him a manasseh to give me like another loan, because another loan is something that he doesn't owe me, and this is something of course which he does owe me. The Ar Sameach has a shail on this whole halacha of the halva. The Ar Sameach says like this: it's a mitzvah of the Torah to lend the person money, right? If you're able to, and it's a person that there's no reason to suspect that he's not honest. The pasuk says in Kesef Talves Ami, you're supposed to lend the person money. So Frek de Asamech, so how could it be usher? How could it be usher for a person to say, I'll lend you money, but tonight that in a month from now you lend me money? What's wrong with that? It's like I said, I'll lend you money, but tonight that you put on tefillin tomorrow morning. Can I lend you money? I'm stipulating, let's say you don't normally put on tefillin. This guy is not so good about tefillin. He oversleeps for minyan half the time. I'll lend you money, but tonight you got to come to minyan tomorrow morning and put on tefillin. Am I allowed to do that? Not ribbis. Even if I get a big geshmak out of it. Baruch Hashem, he's there because of me. I feel really good. I got him to put on tefillin, but that's not ribbis. And I'm just asking him to do something anyway that he's... Besides, okay, it's not going to me. But I'm asking him to do something he's chayv to do anyway. So, for Ekter HaSamech, if he's able to lend me money, he has to lend me money. Kesef Talve Asami is a mitzvah. So, well, how can it be usher to do that? Stipulating, I'll lend you money on condition that you do a mitzvah. What could be wrong with that? So the fact that, and it would sound like the Asamech would even hold that. Let's say the guy is the Malva is 70 years old or above, or he knows this guy says, I'll lend you money, but tonight when I walk by, you stand up for me. Pasuk in the Torah, right? And they say, but what's that?
Is a halva bigger moment is that the Torah was mechayev a mitzvah, or is it a mitzvah that's like a moment? Is, well, what's the ikker thing you're doing?
What did it say?
If it's something that's the ikker moment is that people are gonna loan, it's that people are gonna loan. That's the way economy works. So if the Torah, I'll be mitzvah to do it. There's a kiyam ha mitzvah and something that would normally be done. Or if it's something the Torah considers wouldn't be done unless there's an incentive, it's like putting on tefillin.
Yeah, I think even the second one.
That's what he's saying. It's the second.
Yeah.
The Torah holds there wouldn't be halva.
I mean, not certainly not necessarily, right? Not if there was not a mitzvah in the Torah of Kesef Talva, of Gemilas Chesed, of After Chakavoch, you know, all these mitzvahs are point towards doing that. But otherwise, people.
Someone would do.
Right, why should I lend you? Especially, talking about. Free loans, no interest. So this is his kasha, and the Ar Sameach, he wants to say that the pshat in this halacha, this Ramah, the Osrim, is only talking about a case where the guy really can't afford to lend me money, and he's going to have to go borrow the money from someone else to lend it to me, and he might even have to pay interest, borrow from a Gentile or something, or borrow with a heter iska from someone. I'm stipulating with him that he'll lend me money under circumstances that he normally would be putter, because he really doesn't have the money to lend me. He's not a rich guy at all. In fact, he's borrowing money from me now. He doesn't have so much money. But I'm stipulating, yes, Aval Pikain, I'll only lend you the money Bitnai, that when I need money, you'll come up with it and lend it to me, even though you wouldn't be otherwise chayiv to. That's what it's talking about. That's the case where, that's the machlokas, where Yesh shows to me some hold that's still mutter, because whatever, as far as exactly why it's mutter, and that's why some say it's usher. But if it's a guy that has money and is capable of loaning the money, so I'm just asking him to do a mitzvah, which he has to do anyway. So he's like and he even says, the Ar Sameach even says, does he pass Melech Lamaisa this way? We have to look into maybe Dyke the Lashonis inside, but this is Takai. This is how he learns.
It's on the Rambam.
Yeah, same. Well, but I think I must admit I didn't look at inside. You know, now just based on notes, but I did look up some of the svarim that quoted, but I didn't look in there some inside now to see. So we have to maybe bedak the lashonos there. But he says even let's say the person who's lending the money right now is a guy who doesn't have so much money. He comes on to tzedakah right now. Somebody asks him for money. He happens to have a couple of dollars. Somebody asks him to borrow. So he says, I'll lend you the money, but tonight that you give your tzedakah money to me. Tzedakah money. You have to admit to give tzedakah. I see every morning you come to shul and you put a dollar in the pushka. Give it to me instead. Give it to me instead. I'm a bona fide person, assuming this person who's asking for is a bona fide stucker recipient. So he says, right now you're stuck. You know, you want to borrow a dollar because there's, or $10 because there's a mashulach collector you want to be able to give him. I happen to have $10. I'll lend you the $10. But it's, you know, stipulating that, you know, from now on, when you come into shul and you're putting a dollar in a pushka, anyway, put it into my pushka, in my pocket. It's stucker, bona fide stucker. So he says you'd be allowed to do that. You can stipulate, you know, the guy doesn't have to accept it. He doesn't have to accept the condition. He doesn't have to make, you know, borrow the money if he doesn't want to. But he says you'll be allowed to do that. So many others disagree with this. The Bris Yehuda, that's what you figured, huh? The Bris Yehuda brings from the Shulchan Aruch Harav, this is Mefurish, that such a thing is usher. It really gets into the topic, there's a whole shayla coming up later, about Tovas Hanoah, about could you lend a person money? Let's say I have a car mechanic. What guy asks a mechanic if he could borrow money. If he says, yeah, I'll lend you money, but next time you need a brake job, come to me. Now, I'm not asking, give me extra money. Just do your business with me. Next time you need a $500 brake job, so come to me and I'll give you $500 of services and you'll pay me $500 rather than going to the shop down the block. You're asking me for a favor that I should lend you money. I'll be happy to lend you money, but I would expect that you'll reciprocate by patronizing me, not by giving me anything that I'm not going to work for. Or I have a store and I sell, you know, so you go over to a grocer, you go with the guy who's whatever store, and you ask to borrow money and he says, yeah, I'll lend you money. But on the condition that next time you're in the market for such and such a product, come to me first. And you know, if I have it, buy it from me. So when you buy it from me, you're not giving me more money. You're just giving money for a problem. I'll give you the value. I sell cars, so I'll give you a car worth X number of $1,000 and you'll give me that $1,000. But that's what's called Tovas Hana. I mean, the guy has a right to buy the car from whoever he wants. Even if everybody will charge him the same amount, he still has a right to shop wherever he wants. And I'm like forcing him, or I'm stipulating, I'll lend you the money on the condition that you dafka do it to me. So I'm sorry, what did you say? Is it mutter?
That's mutter.
No, well, it's not so, but it's not special that it's mutter. No. So it's a shal at the end of the simon.
According to the price and all the bad stuff that you can stipulate.
And then Ani will have a tzvi on him, and he can bet. The real one is a tzvi on him. Would he have a tzvi on him? Lachar, he can. I mean, if he has a tzvi on him, so then it's counterintuitive. But the whole thing is that...
So there's no tzvi, and it's not really
mechayev.
He's more asking for a favor.
Well, okay, but a favor is rivus, right? Even if...
No, rivus is mechayev, with the
okay. Right. Except that. So again, so you're asking if the. Right. It's hard to believe it's tzvi and din because we're talking about a kiyam mitzvah. Because he could get out of it. Well, I mean, the truth is, any ribbis could suit, so by definition, there's no tfi and din.
Because
it's ribbis. Okay, that might be true. That might be true. I don't know if that's true. So then you're saying the smechs did should be pasha then, but at least pasha on the rice level. Is that pasha? Yeah, not pasha mitra, but also that such a thing would be. Even there's no tefillin, we have to see that if they're right for that it's only when you keep mamash b'tayv b'din that it would be asur even the money. Okay, but lemaisa, most poskim don't agree with this sameich, and they learn the halacha, kipshuto here that no matter what you're not allowed to do it. Okay, almost in a second here. See any other nekudas that? Okay. So. So let's say there'd be a case where nothing was stipulated. Let's go back to the case of the loan. Where nothing was stipulated, a person lent somebody else money, and then later the one who had originally was on the lending end, and after he got back his money, he goes over to the other guy and says, he asks him for a loan. It wasn't stipulated, nothing was made up. He just goes over to the guy who he once lent money to, and he asks him for a loan now. So that's mutter to do. The lush that's here, the lush of the Kisa Shanarach speaks out. Mikol Malkum im lo hisnu kain el shehu malvelo miritzono pamacheres afal pisha enu osikain el machma shechaver hilvel mikvar. But zay yesh lahakel. Even though the guy knows he approached me for a loan and I'm only willing to do it. I say to myself, I'm only going to do it because he once lent me money. So that's for sure mutter. Now lachori he means even if I speak it out, because if I don't speak it out, then we learned at least. According to the Shach we learned last week, it's always mutter, right? Any time a person comes, Ribis Mucheris, a person borrowed money from me, and he paid me back. And now, he paid me back already. And now, I ask him for a favor. And he does the favor only because I once lent him money. Otherwise, he wouldn't do it. It's the money's paid back already. It's an old story. And it's, it's not the next day. 6 months later, I come and ask him for a favor. And he says to himself, how could I not do it? How can I not do it? He did this for me. So he doesn't say anything. Then the shach, we learned last week, at least according to the shach, that's mutter. Anyway, the only time it would be usher is if he would speak out and say, I would not normally do this for anyone, but you were so nice to me, you lent me the money, so I'm going to do it for you. That would be called ribus mucheris. So l'chor, the kids is talking about it, there's no din of ribus mucheris on this, that everyone would agree that you're allowed to lend the money. If there was bechlal no stipulation, even if the guy says, I'm going to do it, l'chor, that's what he means. Otherwise, he says, bezeyish l'chor. I don't think the wise Eish L'Hakel, unless he's talking about a case where he actually speaks it out. Mm-hmm. So based on this, we set out a case where an employer was late with his paying his employees once, and he felt bad and he wanted to make up for it. By the next paycheck, he wanted to throw in some extra money to make up for it. So we said that l'chor that would. Based on the Ramah and Sif Dalet, that would be mutter. Depending the way the Shach learned the Ramah, that would be mutter. That even if it's a question of giving extra money, you're allowed to do it because it wasn't a loan. His employees never lent him money. He just owes them money, so he's allowed to give them extra. So even those who hold that would normally that would be usser, right? In a case like that. But for something like this, it would be mutter, meaning to say if to lend them to lend an employee money that you were late once in paying your employees and you feel bad about it, and an employee asks you for a loan because that would be mutter to do. I'm only lending him the money because I owe him money and I'm behind the money. So that would the Reisman speaks that as a safer, that would be mutter to do. As long as he doesn't speak it out. That's what he does. But even if you hold that the case last week it would be usher based on the Kivager, but in a situation like this where it's a loan rather than a gift, it would be mutter to do.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for coming.
I'm going to go to the hospital.